A syllabus is a schedule of readings and assignments for a given academic course. But what is it as a cultural artifact? When a future archaeologist digs through Dr. America's files, what will she say about the symbolism of a syllabus? What does this document tell us about American culture? The top of the typical syllabus specifies the course name, the professor's name, and the school term in which it takes place, and all of these facts suggest other relationships. A term is a way of organizing time, like a day or a week or a month or a year. It takes God's time and makes it into human time. In academia today, quarters and semesters come in different sizes, ranging roughly from 10 to 16 weeks. The fact that courses are arranged terminally suggests that knowledge is flexible and divisible, and that the basic principles of anything can be taught in the same amount of time. The course title and number suggest a couple of other fundamental notions. The American Studies part of American Studies 101, for example, suggests that knowledge is departmentalized. What goes on in History 101 won't be seen in Biology 101, and vice versa. In fact, the lines between academic disciplines will be territorially defined and fiercely defended. The 101 part of the title suggests an introductory course, and more basically, the sequencing of courses from less to more sophisticated. It suggests a building block model of education in which later work depends on more rudimentary knowledge. In some disciplines, this model actually reflects reality. In others, instead, it simply imposes reality. The professor's name personalizes this project of education, but it also represents the hierarchies of higher education, spelled H-I-E-R. Although the students will attend as many classes as the professor will, and although this particular semester, they will probably do more homework, their names do not appear on the syllabus. The professor is the god of the classroom, and what this god says goes, or at least it goes a long way. The professor's authority precedes the class. It is positional authority, that is, authority that derives from his or her position as professor. It may also be sapiential authority, which derives from demonstrated wisdom and wit. But on the day that they get the syllabus, students aren't assured of that yet, because whatever else it may be, the PhD is no guarantee of wisdom, or wit, or even of common sense. Another reason for this academic god's power is not grace, as you might imagine, but grades. The syllabus usually includes a revelation of grading policies, and while it is certainly gospel, it's not always good news. Usually these grading policies include percentages of the course grade each assignment contributes, teaching the student that all academic work can be evaluated and quantified, and eventually reduced from pages and pages of prose to a single letter, B or C or A, or God forbid, the dreaded D or F. The syllabus also suggests the cultural power of planning and of planning ahead. Part of the hidden curriculum of a class with a syllabus is to teach students goal setting and future orientation. It gives the students deadlines, the days on which they're dead if they don't have some lines to show. By laying out the work of the class in advance, it lets students plan their work schedules, knowing, for example, exactly when they will have to pull an all-nighter to complete the assignment that was given months ago. A latent function of a syllabus is that it also lets students plan their free time. The weekends and breaks are built in, along with the ebb and flow of written assignments, so that students learn the cultural importance of the all-American alternating current of work and play. In this way, a syllabus is, broadly, a tool for teaching about time and time management. It's also a tool that suggests the importance of order and organization over serendipity and spontaneity. Students and professors may have many interesting ideas in the course of the semester, but if they're not in the syllabus, they're not necessarily in the course. The final thing on the syllabus is the final exam. The finality of this final exam suggests the basic boundedness of any class. After the final exam, the class is officially over, and students may then forget anything they may have learned. Subsequent courses in a sequence always begin with a review, which is an implicit admission that most knowledge is eminently forgettable, and that college is an important part of the cycle of learning and forgetting that is American education. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, Broadcasting American Culture Without a Syllabus.